Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaming, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today we're welcoming to the show for the first time. Today we've got a good friend of ours, Tiger.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, gorgeous. How are you today?
Pretty cool, yeah. It's 8 p.m. Indonesian time. So yeah, I'm pretty hydrated. Still fabulous, even though it's already late. But
always fabulous, which of course, fun fact, 8 p.m. in Indonesia means it is 8 a.m., in Cleveland.
Yeah. I think this might be one of, it's not the earliest one we've ever done, but it's close to, like, I think this is the second or third time I've had to be up this early.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when we do these culture apps, of course, we talk to people from all around the world. I think people forget, you know, yes, the Earth is whatever size, and we're accustomed to the idea of like, oh, I've got friends in places, they do things, they live wherever. And it's like, on a globe where like 12 hours of the day is in sunlight, 12 hours of the day is in nighttime. Like whenever you are up and about functioning in the world, there is like an entire sliver who is like 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, dead to the world, not doing anything because they are sound asleep, girly.
And well, and in your home country, it's tomorrow, isn't it?
No, I think we're 1 hour ahead of Indonesia in Perth.
How are you? Oh, okay.
They're the same time zone as China and Japan.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe China is like 1 hour behind. I'm not quite sure. I think they may be the same one. But anyways, I know that Perth is the same as Japan. And then you've got 3 hours ahead is the eastern coast of Australia. And then I think it's either an hour or 2 hours ahead of that. No, it's 2 hours ahead is New Zealand. So by that logic, New Zealand is 5, 6 hours ahead from Indonesia. Indonesia is 8 p.m. So it is currently 2 a.m. in New Zealand. Like,
so it is, yeah, tomorrow. It's tomorrow in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's tomorrow in New Zealand. It's currently, yeah. New Zealand is listening from the future, always and forever. But listen, we're here today to talk about life in Indonesia. So Tiger Baby, are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, sure. And it's really interesting that Tim said that it is not the earliest that you've done it. So who's the, like, from which country are the other friends that you guys did the podcast from?
I think it was Australia. I think when we did a couple episodes where we were talking to someone in Australia, it was 6 or 7 a.m. for me.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't imagine wake up at 7 and just like podcast time. Tim, you're a hero.
I mean, let's be fair. I just sort of sit here and make my observations. I don't have the I don't want to say burden, but I don't have the professionalism of running the thing. That's my co-host there, who's always on point, ready to go, ready to talk about anything. Always has the newscaster voice ready.
Well, in saying that, you know, and you know, not to up myself here, but there have been quite a few times, and I think it was especially in season 1 and 2. This season's been better for us timeline-wise, but season 1 and season 2, we had a couple of instances where it was like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning for me, where it was just like me mid-yawn, like, it's okay, let's keep going. Okay. And you can, I think if you listen back to some of these episodes, you can hear like that graveliness in my voice where I'm like, yeah, so welcome back to the podcast. And I sound very sexy, but I'm not sexy. I'm half asleep.
Yeah. Oh,
my goodness. But listen, it's 8 p.m. in Indonesia. Let's get this rolling for your benefit so we don't have yourself overtired. So, baby, listen, first things first, tell us about the day-to-day life in Indonesia. What is it like in Indonesia, like the average day?
You know, I think it's very interesting that I could get to talk to you guys. Tim is American and James is Australian living in the United Kingdom. You're Australian, right? So you're pretty familiar with Bali, and Bali is part of Indonesia.
Yeah.
You notice.
Mm-hmm. Which we talked about this briefly, right? Like, I have not been to Bali before, and every Australian listening, just jaws on the floor. They're like, "What do you mean? Bali's like a second home for us." And I'm like, "Yes, I know." And I didn't want to go and add to the cacophony of white Australians acting like dickheads, personally speaking.
Yeah, but I'm sorry to say, but it is we do in the we in the nation do have I forget which part of Bali it is, but everyone said, oh, that part of Bali, you know, where all the drunk Australian hang out. Not me. It's just typical. I have no idea which area they're talking about, but well, I guess you guys like to have fun and it's pretty cool. So yeah, I think James already familiar with Indonesia somehow, and Tim, as American, I don't know particularly about you, but my husband is an American, and well, he studied countries, so of course he knows Indonesian. But he told me that if I just go to any city in America and just ask random people, like, "Hey, do you know Indonesia? What Indonesia?" So. Yeah, seems like Indonesia is not very popular, not very well known. However, in fact, we are a very big country. You know, I think in terms of population, we're number four in the world. I think the first one must be USA, second one China, third one India, fourth, fifth one Indonesia. And we also the largest Muslim country in the world in terms of population. And I am also a Muslim. So yeah, I'm a Muslim. We have like 80% of Muslim population, but we also live together hand in hand with Christianity, Catholic, Buddhism. Everyone is very multicultural country. It's 17,000 islands in it, and we have like 30,000 ethnic groups. So when you wake up in Jakarta, it's just a big melting pot of all of this culture throughout Indonesia. The food is amazing. You could find any food you like in Jakarta. And maybe because Jakarta or like Indonesia is not very well known in the global world, they probably think like, oh, Indonesia, like third world country. Yeah, probably. But when you go to Jakarta, it's a mega city. Like, it's like Singapore is where Crazy Rich Asian is, but most of the Singaporean was Indonesian. So Jakarta people knows the party. And I think I'm pretty privileged to have a good life in Jakarta. I'm not struggling, we're comfortable. And but day to day of Indonesian people is like wake up, eating rice for breakfast, lunch, rice, dinner, rice. It's all rice, carbohydrates, and yeah, we do fat people. Not small amount, not too much big people, but we do have cute amounts of fat.
Love
Yeah, to be fair, America doesn't really teach its citizens about the rest of the world most of the time. Like, they cover big things like the world wars, but when it comes to teaching other cultures, we're not so great at that until you get to college. I had been a, I mean, like I had been aware that Indonesia was a country, and I had been aware of Bali mostly because of that stupid Eat, Pray, Love movie that they came out with, where she went to Bali at the end. But that's probably the most exposure, the average American has had to Bali and Balinese culture, and or even what the country looks like. Because every time I've seen pictures of Bali, it's just this incredibly lush tropical, setting. And if it makes you feel any better about this, Americans will also assume that people from different cities within the borders of our own country come from like a quote unquote third world kind of setting. Because I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and then when I moved to Cleveland, people would ask me where I was from, and I was like, "Oh, I'm from Kansas City." They'd go, "Oh, did you grow up on a farm or something?" I'm like, "I grew up in a city." Like, the same thing is here. Suburbs, metropolitan area. Yes, there's some outlying country, but no, I did not grow up on a farm.
Yeah, and yeah, people have always have stereotype, right? But I think because Indonesian people are not very much a traveler, so okay, like Indonesia population wise, we're number four or five in the world. terms of population. The first one, Americans. Americans are everywhere, right? Second one, China. You can see Chinese people everywhere. So does with Indian. And also right now, Southeast Asian population that you could see more in the global world is Filipino, right? But if you see the Philippines population compared to Indonesian population, it's so big. Indonesia just have so many people. And I think I do have theory on why Indonesian people is not very much involved globally, because I think we as a country, it's good, you know, it's the country is all right, comfortable. Of course, we have problem, but it's all right. It's a very comfortable country to live in, I guess, because if you got money, great, perfect place for you. If you don't have money, you'll still live all right.
I think this is something, right, and this I think leads into the next question of like, what is the biggest misconception about Indonesia? But something that I'm very aware of from growing up in Australia, growing up with a lot of Asian friends who were first generation or fresh off the boat, really, like came over with parents, like a lot of Southeast Asian cultures, as specifically, take better care of people who are less fortunate. That's not to say that you've got, like food shelters and homeless shelters everywhere or anything like that, but it's more like the values of the cultures are like, yes, we can do better, we can have better, be better, but also for the people who are just out here doing whatever, like we're not going to make it harder for you. Like you're still going to have access, you're still going to survive. And that is something that really carries over with a lot of that culture, which is where people who can afford to come to Australia, yeah, maybe they live a bit lavishly, yeah, maybe they're having a good time, but they don't turn friends away. It's like growing up with my friends who, anytime I was over hanging out playing video games, it's always like, do you want to stay for dinner? And there is always so much more food. Like, it is insane. Just don't wear your shoes past the front door or you will be killed. Other than that,
True.
other than that, you'll be just fine. But on that point, like, what do you feel is the biggest misconception about Indonesia? Because we touched on a couple of points already, right? Like that maybe people don't really even know about it, right? But of like the kind of things you see online, what is like the biggest misconception? The thing that when people know about Indonesia, what are people getting wrong?
I think one of the biggest misconception is that, well, it's kind of weird to say it misconception because I think most of the world don't really have a concept of Indonesia. But I think if you're being served, okay, here, this is like 100 Indonesian people. What do you think they're like? Because we look like any other Southeast Asian people. We look like Thai, Cambodian, Filipinos. You look alike, they would think that, oh, probably it's a Buddhist country or like a lot of Chinese people came to Indonesia. But the thing is, we're very multicultural, but we live hand in hand. And also, we are, as I said before, we're number one Muslim population. How do you pronounce that? Yeah, most populated. Oh, my English brain is stop working. Tell me what should I say? What should
Like
I
the
say?
most populous Muslim country in the world.
There you go. That. I think if you come to Indonesia, you'll see a lot of women wearing hijab, but not like the Middle Eastern ladies that wear like very long hijab, like dark color. We in Indonesia, yes, the woman that wear like big hijab, they're there, of course. But also most of the woman wearing hijab is wearing like hijab and like long sleeve and the like jeans, and this is acceptable. And there's also a lot of Muslim that don't wear hijab, look just like me. I don't wear hijab, but I pretty modest in my in everyday life. And the guy doesn't have beard, because if you think Arab man or like Muslim man, you think like Zayn Malik, like sharp beard and like thick beard. But we Indonesian, Southeast Asian, don't really know the man. So it's just like your regular neighbor, but like we Muslim. And I think a lot of misconception happening about Muslim people all over the world. We just have a bad DR with all of the terrorism issues, especially after 9/11. But if you come to Indonesia, you don't feel like you come to a Muslim country. It's not a Muslim country, but like you don't feel like you're surrounded by Muslim, but we are Muslim. We believe what we believe. We pray when we should pray. But we just look like an average person. Yeah, so I think that's a fun fact instead of misconception that people might not know about Indonesia.
I like that. I mean, Tim, on your end of things, like what is said in America about Indonesia? If
Not much, not much, because very few times will you ever, have anyone ask a person from Indonesia outright, like, "Oh, are you from Indonesia?" Like most people in America won't be able to look at someone and know what their country of origin is. So, like, yeah, Tiger, if you were in the USA, I feel like people would be walking up to you asking you, "Oh, are you from Mexico? Are you from Korea? Are you from China?" Like, they're never going to guess the correct place. They're just going to make a lot of assumptions based on your skin tone, your facial features, the clothes you wear, your accent, and they'll guess all over the planet. Like, and they do that with white people who immigrate as well, because like in my nursing field, like I was training a nurse from the Ukraine, and people would like they would refer to her as, "Oh, the Russian chick," or they would they would just very flippantly, like, miscategorize the country that she came from, be very dismissive of her despite the fact that she was just as educated as the rest of us. Like, that's unfortunately a big problem in the United States. We just cannot seem to be bothered to learn anything about what other people experience in parts of the world.
Yeah, when I was when I went to the States, people think that I am Mexican. Do I look Mexican? I don't think I am, but I think people just don't have any idea of what Indonesians should look like. I don't look like Filipinos because I'm big and tall. I'm 5'7" and I'm also big, so yeah, and most of Indonesian people are shorter. I think the girls are 5'3", 5'4". Yeah, so it's weird.
What's
And I think, yeah.
the average height for men? Because, and I'm asking this because I order clothes offline, and a lot of times they're coming from that part of the world, and the websites that resell them don't often include the measurement conversions.
I think if I'm seeing you in the Zoom, right, I think in Indonesia you could be 2 or 3 XL. I know it's ridiculous. In America, I bet you're just like M or L, right?
Yeah, I'm either an L or an XL, and then I'm like twice as big on the other side of the planet. And it's like it's a weird thing to realize that, like, in terms of average United States citizen, that's exactly what I am, average. Like, I am falling directly in the middle category, but on the other side of the world, I would be considered like huge.
And average man in Indonesia, I think around 162 centimeters, which is like six, I don't know, five
Five
four,
four. Five
five
yeah, it's
four,
like 5'4". Yeah. Yeah.
5'4", and the girls shorter than
Like
the
five
guys
two,
in
maybe.
5'2", yeah.
Maybe.
And I am 260 pounds and 5'7", and in Indonesia, guess what size I am?
2XL?
I
I would guess at four.
am. You okay? 4 XL. No, I am 8 XL. 8 XL.
8XL? Oh my God, like over here in the States, like 8XL is like, that's
I
like
know,
six,
right?
700 pounds.
Good Lord.
And when every time we have a office gathering, when they're making t-shirts, they always ask, okay, what's your size? I put down 7, 8 XL, and they always come back to me, are you sure this is correct? Yes, I am that big here.
God damn. I mean, this follows up to this next question, right? Because we want to talk about like what a resource is like there in terms of fashion, in terms of the culture when it becomes fat. But I just want to say here something that we are literally actively seeing on this conversation. Even the concept of like obese in terms of height and weight is made up. It is literally a concoction of human ingenuity because it means nothing when you take it out of context. Like, we can say as consumers, oh, I ordered this shirt from Asia and it's way too small for me. What are they doing? Because we think in our minds, like, oh, it's all about what you can afford to buy. But actually, it's like, no, they make this for an entirely different human body. That is a certain designation, a certain height versus weight, which is also one of the reasons why the BMI is bullshit. You know, like, we're seeing this in real time. When you actually take bitches from all over the fucking world and stand them next to each other, there is no consistency. Everyone is weird, wacky, wonderful, and different, right? So I feel like this is a good reminder. This is part of why we do this, because we need to remember this, right? Like, these systems out here, they are not built for bigger bodies, no matter where in the world we are. But they want to try and lump us all together, but we're on different ends of the spectrum. Like, at 260 pounds, at 5'7", you would be like maybe 2X in American
Yeah, in a sense, I'm
size,
like 2X, yeah.
if that. So, like, that's six whole sizes difference. Like, these things cannot be understated, like the wildness of this all, right? So anyone listening, be aware of that, okay? It's not that people don't know how to make clothes, it's that they are making clothes for radically different bodies, plain and simple. But coming back to that point, talking about fashion, like, people making shirts, people dressing nicely, because you are dressed nicely, you always dress really, really nicely. Like, what are those resources like in Indonesia? Is there a lot of availability for things, or is it a bit difficult to find stuff that fits?
Yeah, so Indonesia also has so many SMEs, small medium enterprises, and it's still growing. And the SMEs environment in Indonesia is really good. So it's the growth of SMEs is really good in Indonesia. So you start to see a lot more plus size clothing made in Indonesia with the good quality and everything, and it's pretty cheap in here to get clothes. However, as the industrial phase that SME is trying to make product, it's a good product, and then they start to do some research and development. But at this moment, Indonesia's plus size fashion is more still more towards inclusivity, adding more sizes. Yeah, which is great. Yeah, like 5 years ago, I cannot find outfit my size, and like 10 years ago I was like just 200 pounds or less, and I was struggling to find clothes that fits me. But now, yeah, it's a lot easier for me to find clothes. I have a lot more option to be more stylish. However, the style is not necessarily the best one to me. It's Of course, Indonesia, we have plus size dress that fits my size and bigger women, but the cutting and the style, it's so simple, where some people might not like simple. I don't like simple. I like, something that American plus size girlies are wearing, the ratchet, the something that show your boobies a little bit, something a little extra. And that is why I always, whenever I went to the set, I always try to go shopping for plus size clothes that has the cutting that I like, the style that I like. And that's also why, do you familiar with Shein, the Chinese e-commerce?
Oh yeah, like, it's everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, it really took off.
Yeah, I know that they have a bad reputation. They might use a child labor, or they might do something illegal at the back. I don't know, but the rumors are out there, and seems like fast fashion in general is not very environmentally friendly. But the thing is that they got good clothes with a cheap price. I know the outfit from Shein, if I ask my Indonesian seller to make it themselves, the price would be like 7, 8 times more expensive. If I bought it from the States, shipping to Indonesia with tax and everything, it cost a lot more money than I would want to pay. But yeah, I think inclusivity and access to cute clothes also really determine the people purchase decision, whether they're going to buy from Shein or not, whether they're going to support their like the brand or not, because okay, I don't buy from company that do bad things or whatever, but like I can't wear cute clothes. It's so hard to be cute and it's so expensive, so it's definitely a moral dilemma, especially for me. So I just hope that maybe if I get a little money, I would make some business that makes more bedazzled Indonesian plus size clothing.
I think that's such an important conversation, right? Like we were talking about this recently, Tim, like the morality that we are afforded to have in Western countries is in many ways a privilege because we have access to things that people in other places do not. It's all well and good to say, shine is evil, you buy from them, you're buying child labor. But maybe you live in Indonesia and you can't afford clothing if you don't buy big clothing from Shein. So you don't have the choice to make that moral decision. And again, things we need to be remembering, especially in the West, we need to have gratitude for what we have access to. And remember that when you see a homosexual making yet another queer brand, bear brand clothing thing, and it costs $50 extra, at least it's only $50 extra and not $500 extra. At least it's also coming from a reputable source, locally made by people in your community and not just by some soulless, hungry, corporate, greedy bastard out somewhere out east. You never know. So do the research and find out. But also that's that conversation, you know, it's reality for people living all over the world and why we have these conversations. So I know you mentioned because things have been improving access-wise over the last few years, do you think that that means that there is more like fat acceptance, fat positivity, gaining positivity in Indonesia, or is this just a byproduct of, you know, things are happening in the West, therefore Indonesia's like, we need to catch up?
I think the second one, for sure. I think American media, BuzzFeed and YouTube and everything, we Indonesian absorb that very much. So definitely the plus size and the body positivity, we're also catching up on that. But I think in terms of beauty standards, Indonesian beauty standard is pretty similar with other Asian country beauty standards. For a woman to be able to be pretty, you have to be tall, have light skin, small face, small boobs, small butt, everything small. Yeah, and it still is a very big body beauty standard. I don't think it's changing at all, but I think the business-wise, Indonesian business started to catch up, like, oh, there are bigger people in Indonesia, and they could see that it's a problem to find clothes, so it's improving, which is it's great. Yeah, it's always great to be included, whether the culture is changing or not.
You know, I sometimes forget until I am reminded of how much the rest of the world is taking its beats from America, you know. And James and I have had conversations about American centrism, which it's something that I think most United States citizens are blithely unaware of because we are inundated with nationalism and patriotism from the moment that we're born, right? And you're even encouraged as a US citizen to only consume certain news outlets and you know only certain industries. And like there's a handful of people who are directing the entire you know cultural shift in the United States. And as just a regular average person, just we're kind of looking around at each other going like, why is everybody following us? Like we're not handling things well either. Like we've got political strife, we've got all kinds of controversies, we've got rampant homophobia, racism, all that other shit. And so it's like, I'm like, why are you all taking examples from us? Like, we're not that great. And yeah, like if you talk to a nationalist, they'd be like, oh yeah, of course, because we're American, we're number one, we're blah, 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 blah. If you talk to anybody like normal, they'd be like, yeah, I don't think that we're the example to follow either.
I mean, it's things to consider, right? Like growing up, the most popular show on TV was The Simpsons. And so from a young age, I'm inundated with the notion of like, oh, America is where things happen. America is where the fun is. America is where this comes from, you know? So it is this constant serpent eating its own tail of, you know, America said it was the best, and therefore, because you guys got to film before a lot of us did, because you guys started building a lot of that infrastructure, we absorb because nobody else had it. That's why so many Australian ideals are influenced by America, because why else, where else would it come from, you know? But I think, much like we were saying before, you know, Tiger expressed that clothing sizes in Indonesia have been improving because of American influence. And so I think it is good to recognize that, at the very least in those regards, sometimes that American influence is not a bad thing. It can lead to greater opportunities elsewhere, graciously so, but it is worth being aware of that power imbalance.
Yeah, I think Tim, I think that's a pretty pretty interesting take. And also James, I think you're right, because America figured out how to film their culture, the way, you know, the movie and entertainment industry that it being consumed by the rest of the world, because American figured it out first. I think that's also like, yeah, America, that's it's happening there. Must be something, yeah. And I think it's pretty interesting to see that. And also, I think if we want to talk about American exposure that really affected Indonesia, I think Indonesian millennials especially got our hustle culture from Americans, I guess. I think me as a millennials, we grew up watching The Wolf of Wall Street, a lot of American TV series, and see that, oh, American, you know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Like that kind of vibe that I think Indonesian hustle culture could be heavily influenced by American culture that we consume through the media.
Very much so. Very, very much so. I mean, curious to ask here, like, from your perspective as an Indonesian Fiji, like, what is your perspective on like Ghana and Fidist culture in places like America and the UK and, you know, Australia, because it is so close by? Like, how do you, like, what's your perception of those?
So actually, I accidentally found Phoebe. It's not that I know that I'm Phoebe. I know that I'm a gamer. No, I was like, maybe in like 2014, I was like, I thought I was a plus size girly where I was 5'7" and below 100 pounds. But, you know, mind so distracted. But at that time, I was like, I'm a plus size girl. So, and nobody on Tinder seems to be interested on me, but it's fine. Dating site for plus size people like me, or for people that like plus size people like me. And then I Google, Phoebe came up, and then okay, let me just sign up. And then I met my very first Peter boyfriend in there. And the first time I opened Phoebe, it's like, oh wow, these people are hilarious. They constantly talking about food and how much they want to eat. Fun. And I have no idea. It was some sort of king. So I think like, oh, this is just like very positive and hungry community, right? And then found my very first Phoebe boyfriend in there, talk, and he actually lived in Malaysia, so I had to flew there to have a date with him. And yeah, it was great. And until I met him, just like that, oh, it's okay. And the first time we met in person, we did feeding session. I don't really talk a lot with people in the community, especially with the girls. So I call what I did is a feeding session, you know, with the funnel and with the, what is this?
Oh, handcuffs.
Chain? Yeah, handcuffs, like force feeding. Like, oh, this is gonna turn me on. And like, I like it. Yeah. And it's a very foreign concept in Indonesia. So my eyes just like opened. In 2015, 2014, that was like my Fiji awakening. Oh, there's this place where I could be just what am I could eat whatever I wanted, and I can get to be loved too. And it's It's not very well known concept in Indonesia, and I think in Indonesia there are some people that into fat woman, into plus size woman, but I don't think they know about veganism at all. Maybe someone like, oh, I like it when people see, but they just have no idea what is it, because this term is just not widely known. Yeah, like when some guy in 1700 BC, a guy like another man, what is this? Why I like men? Why I don't like women? They just don't know that they're gay because they have no idea that gay term exists.
It's fascinating, right? Like, and again, things I love to explore when we talk about different cultures around the world, because something we encounter quite a lot, and I think we've done quite a few episodes now talking to different people in like South America, and Latin America overall, and it's interesting like how much ethnically food plays a role in the family, and food as a form of affection plays a role, like sometimes from a feminine perspective, it's like, oh, in order to love my husband, in order to love my children, I have to cook a lot of food and feed them, and if they get bigger, it's because I love them. But there's also usually the side piece where it's like, well, you're getting too fat, you need to lose weight, you need to go on a diet, but also, why haven't you finished your plate, and why aren't you having seconds? Don't you love me? Do you want me to die? Like, it's such a it's such a mind
Right.
fuck. But I mean, it sounds like, because you were saying it's not really well known in Indonesia. Is the gaining and fetus community very small in Indonesia?
Very small. I think do you know that Phoebe just launched a very first report of their activity? You see
Oh,
that? And I
really?
just realized that, yeah, you can open Phoebe now, and it's like on top of the announcement. And I just realized that, hey, they apparently opened, they started to have Phoebe community in 2015. So that means I was the very first ones to be there. I think before
Ooh.
that we have Feeder Fantasy, right?
Fantasy feeder, and I do believe that
But
is
yeah.
going. Yeah, it's still around.
Yeah, and 2015 I was there. I know some people in there, and every year I always have a reason to just leave Phoebe, but always coming back. And I see people, I know they're new. I know when they're joining Phoebe. I know these people, and they're not here anymore, but I know them on Instagram or something like that. So in Indonesia, if you see in Phoebe, you know each other, or like at least if you never talk to each other, like this person exists. So it's a small community, and too bad it's not growing, because we are positive as fuck, man. I love everyone on Phoebe.
That's really good. Tim, I know we've talked about this to high heavens, like so much drama, so much drama that can go on the gay side of the fence. I
Really?
mean, I live in
Yeah.
London, girly, and there are cliques on cliques on cliques of people in this one city. And if you associate with one, you cannot associate with the other. And
On
there's
Phoebe
this.
too? On
Well,
Phoebe
I'm not
community
sure about
too?
the Phoebe side of things. That's another thing we're trying to, again, as two queer men, we're trying to crack into at the straight side of the community. Ironically, like the awful Australian tourists in Bali were sort of rocking up, like, "Hi, we're here. What's going on? What are you doing?"
Well, it's no different on my side, because if that's the kind of tourist you are, then I'm the American tourist who's like, why isn't everything in English? And I'm just, smoking regardless of the law. And
Oh yeah, well, that's
Oh
another.
my God.
Is it illegal to smoke publicly in Indonesia, or are you allowed to smoke publicly?
Smoke cigarette with clothes and everything. Yes, it's. I think most of adult men, like my dad, generation, like boomer, I think some of the men are smoking, but every generation it's getting less and less smoking. But like marijuana, nope, it's illegal. You can get in jail. Yeah, and our government is like on purge when it comes to drugs. Oh, there. I know sometimes 5, 6 years ago, a lot of foreigner got death sentence because of their carrying Drugs. Oh, so yeah. Anyone else, if you're listening to this podcast, when it comes to Indonesia, don't ever think about bringing illegal substance to Indonesia, because we want you to still live. So just be good.
Yeah, I'll be sure to remember that because I don't want to have my own version of Broke Down Palace in some other part of the world. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, if you had something, Tim, I would encourage you to be like, I love you, but put that in the cunt bin right fucking
No,
now.
I just toss it directly into the. I'd be like, nope, that's not mine. Toss it right in the woods, like.
Right now, right now, somewhere else. Now, listen, I want you to tell me, what is your favorite Indonesian snack, drink, and meal, girly? Sell us on the food fantasy. Give it to us good.
Oh, my favorite food. I think it should be beef rendang. Beef rendang is like a slow cooked beef in coconut milk, but you cook it for like 13 to 24 hours in a pot. It's so good. It's so good. Oh my God. It's really good. That's beef rendang. Yeah, and my favorite drink. It's interesting because, like, if you think about Indonesian drink, it's pretty. I don't think we're really big on drink, but I must say that, I don't know. I think it's Indonesian drink because I've never gone to anywhere else in the world that they serve it. Probably in Philippines, but yeah, I forgot. It's avocado juice. Have you ever had that?
No.
I've not had
Yeah.
avocado juice, but I have had an avocado milkshake, which was weirdly enjoyable. It
And it
was
wasn't greasy?
No, it was more buttery in texture.
Yeah. It's more like a baby food. Like you put avocado, put sugar, and then you put chocolate condensed milk in a glass as a garnish, but you can taste the slightly chocolate condensed milk. It's really good. It's very filling. Yeah, I think I like avocado juice because it's very filling, you know, and I like the filling of fullness. So instead of like orange juice, please, like it's just like water go through my system. I like avocado juice because it is really good. It's fatty and it makes you full. It makes you fuller, you know. So yeah, avocado juice for sure. It might sound weird because apparently in the Western world, I just know that like a couple years ago, like avocado is like a savory food, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, it's turned into savory products and not sweet ones. Probably because of the distinct flavor of an avocado. I don't know if anyone from, white America has thought about potentially using it for something other than guacamole. But you know what took off over here in a weird way when I was thinking about drinks that you wouldn't consider? Aloe vera water is apparently a growing trend in the United States. And I was like, but you're drinking like chunks of like aloe vera in the water. Like, this is not, to me, that's not appetizing. Like, my water shouldn't be chunky.
But yeah, you're right. Avocado also, no, avocado, what? Aloe vera.
Yeah,
Aloe
aloe vera.
vera is
Yeah.
also sweet drinks, and it's really good. My family made that in a family gathering. Yeah, it's really good. You should try. It's not your water, it's just a special drink. Like the chunk is really good too. I have no idea that it tastes that good, but it is. You should try.
Well, you see, it's interesting, right? Like thinking what you said, Tim, about like flavors being sweet, savory. We've talked about this in Australia. Pumpkin is not sweet. It is very much a savory concept. And so when people would talk about like, a slice of pumpkin pie for dessert, I'm sat there thinking, now why in the hell would you want like that's dinner? Like a pumpkin pie would be dinner. That's a but that y'all are like, nah, it's like a slice of cake. And I'm like, America, please explain. Like I'm in.
Probably because we figured out that brown sugar and nutmeg go really well with pumpkin as opposed to chili powder and garlic, like however we came up, I don't know how pumpkin pie was invented. No,
But
I
it,
do.
obviously somebody thought, this kind of seems like it would taste better sweet than it would savory.
I mean, look, I think it's fabulous either way. Now, I want to ask you here, Tiger, what about like people in the media, cartoon characters? Like when you were growing up, did you ever see anyone Indonesian on TV who was bigger, who you maybe looked at and thought, oh, that's a curvaceous woman, that's a big-bellied man, that kind of gives me the confidence to, eat big and celebrate my body a little bit?
Yeah, so I know some of the plus size men and women on the media. However, only very few of them that become role model for people, but just role model for their thinking and their persona and characteristic, not necessarily their body size. And okay, I think I could be. In Indonesia, there's this nice woman named Dewi Gus, and call her Gus. She's amazing. She's so nice. She's a very kind-hearted woman. She has a talk show like back 10, 15 years ago, and she was nice, but she's a big woman. She's a plus-size woman. However, everyone agreed that, oh, this lady is a sweetheart, but every time her story come up, it's always people have always something to say about her body, wishing, hey, do you want to lose some weight? Or like, what do you think about being like larger? And yeah, it's always about, do you want to lose weight? Until she finally lose her weight this past couple years, which if it makes her happy, good for her, right? But it's since the very beginning, since I was a little kid, I always knew that being larger than the rest of Indonesian, which is Indonesian is really, really skinny. It's always, well, that means you agree and you acknowledge that you will being asked by so many people to lose your weight. And yeah, Dewi Hugas is one of them. I really love her personality. And the other one, she's very famous, but she died a couple of years ago. Her name is Preti Asmara. She's a very large woman, and I think I think she might have become my role model, like who I want to be when I was a little girl, because I was fat my whole life, and I saw this Preti Asmara girl. She's huge. She's huge. She's Indonesian. I think her height is just like regular Indonesian girl, but she's like huge. I think she's like 300, 400 pounds or more. But every time she come up to the public that, hey, I have a boyfriend. Boyfriend is always hot. Like normal, heteronormative hot. Like with like strong jawline and the beard, like very, very masculine. It's like Idris Elba. It's giving Chris Pratt, Evans. Chris, all the Chris you think about. She always have foreign boyfriends or Indonesian that's like super hot. And I was like, I want to be like her too. But back then when I was a little girl, I always believed that if you're fat, you're not gonna get a man to love you. But like looking at her and like she got hot boyfriends. I want to be like her too. So yeah, I think now that we talk about it, I realize that hey, maybe I want to be like her in terms of like dating and romantic life.
I love that. And I do think that's something really good to come down to, right? Like, we don't see a lot of positive plus size relationships or people having success or perceived societal success. So any example of that is wonderful, really. And I do want to ask here, talking a little bit more about like the language of it all, like even though that Indonesian community is small, is there like a phrase that you'll have? And I think the language are like Javanese and like Bahasa, right? Like those are like the two most common indigenous languages to Indonesia, I think.
Well, our national language is Bahasa, but a lot of people are from Java. So yeah, Japanese is what they know, and I am Sundanese. I am from Sunda region. It's like West Java, and I do speak Sunda. Sundanese language, and we do have a name for like plump woman.
Oh, so what do you all call a
Yeah.
plump woman in Sunda?
It's bahemo.
Bahelo?
Bahe? No.
Baheno.
Yeah, bahemo. It's like, but the concept of bahemo is like small tits, small waist, big ass, big
Oh.
thigh. Yeah.
So
So,
they appreciate a big booty over there.
yeah, big booty and weirdly, big boobs is not very, I don't know, it's less popular than big butt, like all Indonesian, also known as like, baheno, big ass, big thigh.
Baheno. I mean, listen, I'm an ass man, so I'm gonna be looking for some baheno. You best believe, girl. You're like, whoo! Bang that thing up.
Yes.
I'm like, oh. Baheno, that's fabulous. no, I live. I live. That's cute. That's cute. Now, what is the biggest change you would like to see made to the Indonesian gynefetist community?
Just hope that people that don't know that it exists know that it's a thing. And I just hope that people that previously have no idea how to describe how they're feeling apparently has a name, and we have a community which so far has been very positive, full of drama, but mostly positive. Yeah, and it's instead of because I see people like closeted feeder, closeted feedy, they end up like lying to themselves and lying to people that date them. Just why not come to the community and be yourself, find people, like-minded people? Yeah.
No, I think that's fair. And I just here at the end of this episode, I want to ask, is there any aspect of your life in Indonesia or your particular experiences with gaining in fetism that you'd like to share before we close things out?
Excuse me, the weather is not very nice in Indonesia right now. A lot. Yeah. It's that I think I mentioned earlier that I know each one of Fidi person on Fidi or feeder on Fibi, and with the lack of Indonesian or people that live in Indonesia to like show up on Phoebe. So a lot of people, boyfriend that I met through Phoebe live overseas. And I dated a couple guys that not living in Indonesia but living in neighboring country in Malaysia, Hong Kong. I even dated someone from Europe, and it works, but again, it's distant. It's really difficult to do. So we end up parting ways. But it's really interesting to me that we have community in Indonesia. It's very small, but we still do connect with other people in other side of the world. And you have no idea how many interesting people I found. Peter, especially. I met a couple big company CEO on Phoebe, and
Ooh.
apparently they're closeted. Peter, like, why are you closeted? And I've never seen their girlfriend in public. They are remotely fat, but I saw their following on Phoebe, like 300, 600 pounds girlies. Oh, hey, why are you doing that? But again, I can get to talk to them, and there's a lot of interesting people on Phoebe and in this community. You just have to say hi to everyone and be nice to everyone, I guess.
I like that. And listen, y'all need to go out and say hi to our good sis Tiger because she is a plus size diva, an icon, a star, and she is gorgeous. And listen, baby, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. This has been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Tim and James. I really appreciate you guys having me here.
Oh, wonderful. And hopefully we get to have you back again soon. Now, where can our listeners find you online?
You can find me on Phoebe. It's Tiger Tammy, TigerTammy, Indonesian girly. Just, you can find me there. Let's chat.
Fabulous. Well, listen, that's it for now for another fabulous week here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. Now, if you liked this episode, the podcast, or just us in general, please share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky at Stanham.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio, or at our website at podpage.com/thickradio. If you want to submit a voice note or become a financial supporter of the show, you can find the links in the show notes, and you can always write to us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye fats.
Bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Thicky Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Lucky 2.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Cream.